Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Mahan.
Welcome to Elevated Places. This is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad. Welcome again. It is such a blessing to be with you on the first day of spring by the calendar, but it continues to be winter through the will of Allah. It is a blessing, and I want to give all of you the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And once again, we are live on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces, blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. Also, call us at 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091. It is especially important that the callers participate tonight because this is open line evening. We're going to have an open discussion tonight. We're going to talk about what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad called and Minister Farrakhan called verb and subject agreement. And the question that I have for you is, what is it that is holding us back from moving towards self-determination? We have the ultimate truth being given to us through Minister Louis Farrakhan in the clearest terms, yet we remain stationary. Our children are being murdered every day. We have nothing. We own nothing. We are doing nothing for self. We would be better off, beloved, starting from scratch on our own than we are here and now, continuing to remain a subject people under the rule of our slave master's children. And so that is the question for tonight. Our men are dead or in jail. Our women are totally corrupted. Our communities are desolate. So talk to me. We've been given a clear message. And the question is, why are we failing to respond? Now, of course, I am blessed to be joined by my co-host, at least briefly, Brother Terrence Muhammad. As you know or should know, this week, Minister Farrakhan is at Tuskegee, the iconic historically black university, and he will be addressing students there tomorrow night, and as I understand it, he either is speaking to or spoke to some high school students today. As always, there is controversy and mixed feelings surrounding Minister Farrakhan's presence at Tuskegee, and of course, Brother Terrence, being our man on location, is there. And also there this evening is our Elevated Places contributor, and expert agricultural economist, Dr. Ridley Muhammad. And so they are actually each taking a little bit of time out. I guess they're doing sort of a relay so that they can help me out on Elevated Places. Brother Terrence, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. How are you?
I'm really wonderful. Just feeling really good today, even though it is 20 degrees below normal in Chicago. And as I said to the listeners, you know, by the calendar, today is the first day of spring, but not by Allah's will. And
that's right.
His is the only reality. So it is winter. So how are you feeling, Brother Terrence, there in...
I am on top of the world. We are live in Tuskegee University in Tuskegee, Alabama. And we are having a wonderful time. We're at nearly a packed capacity chapel on a university campus to hear question and answers from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. They are now showing his World Friendship Tour. And if you don't know about the World Friendship Tour, you need to go to store.finalcall.com. That's store.finalcall.com. And you get your own copy of what they're watching right now. Of the of the World Friendship Tour that they're watching here at Tuskegee. But I do want to quickly, because the minister is hearing it come up, just a few to give question and answers. But he has been here since yesterday. The minister is incredible. As we know, after Savior's Day, he went to St. Sabana, he went to Grand Rapids, he went to Belize, he went to the Bahamas, and then he's back on the road and Tuskegee. And one of the things the brothers on the team said, the minister is happy that he's back on the road and, you know, out here with our people. And I just want to give a couple of thank yous first to a brother named Scott Muhammad, who's moderating the program tonight, who's working feverishly helping these students get stuff together and get it all prepared. And there's also a sister, hopefully she'll come on with us next week, named Brooke Moore. Brooke Moore, she's the co-chair of the Black Belt Deliberative Dialogue Group, the Black Belt Deliberative Dialogue Group here at Tuskegee, and they gave a video presentation in defense of the minister, showing clips of the minister speaking. And as you said earlier, the controversy that's going on at Tuskegee, where the NAACP unanimously chapter here in support of the minister coming here, and as students also, you can go on YouTube and Minister Farrakhan, the Awakening at Tuskegee, and they are in support of the minister to be able to hear what this man has to say. And one of the students said, he's talking about economics. He's talking about education. Why wouldn't anybody want to hear about us doing something for self and learn about education and economics? So this is a wonderful experience because the students are now stepping up and welcoming the minister. And like I say, he's showing the World Friendship Tour today. And the minister said great job to the students as they finished their little clip that they had put together. So the minister's proud of them. And our brother Scott Muhammad also started a program called Seed Incorporated. And he gave a presentation today to the minister. And I was told, and I had to paraphrase because I don't have all the specific words, but I was told that the minister had mentioned that the job of the messenger of God is only to deliver a clear message. And he said, that's his job. He said, but the message is like water. And he said, the message is like water. And when you put water, you know, into the ground and gives, you know, into the vegetation, it brings out of whatever is there, whatever is in there. So he was saying that this word that he has taught brought out a God in this brother. So he's saying that, you know, he's just laying the water. He's pouring out the water, this wisdom. But at the same time, it helps to bring out of it, as the minister has always talked about. Education is not to put in, but it is to bring out of us. So I think that's what they're scared of, is that the minister will bring out the God within these strong black students, not only here in Tuskegee, but all of the black colleges. And I put out a challenge to all of the HBCUs. Invite Minister Farrakhan to your campus. Invite him to speak to the student populations and have him come and give a word from God to you on your HBCU or whatever campus that you may be on.
Yes, and in fact, don't not only invite him, demand
right.
of the administration
right.
that he come there, because if an institution is indeed an institution of higher learning, then as a student, I am entitled to be exposed to the full spectrum of thought that is in the society in which I live. It doesn't have to be agreeable to the administration. You don't have to like what he says. You don't have to listen to what he says. But you cannot stop, as an institution of higher learning, if you really are that, legitimately and morally, you can't stop students from hearing from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So students demand that he be brought onto your campus.
And not only do they should they demand that, they bring him on the campus, but the thing about it is that the students are the ones that pay the salary to the administration.
Exactly.
So there would be no school without the students. So the students need to know their worth. They need to know their power. And if this is what they require and this is what they need, they should be afforded the opportunity. And I posted on my page today, my Facebook page, and I said it's not about just defending Minister Farrakhan's freedom, right to freedom of speech, but it is your defense of your right to hear and listen to the truth.
Exactly.
So you've been denied your own constitutional right to just listen and to hear, that people will deny you an opportunity to listen to whatever you want, but they will allow you to listen to anything on the airways, anything on TV that has filth and does not elevate your moral character and standard, but they allow you to just hear anything. So I'm glad that the students here at Tuskegee are standing up, stepping up, and they're pushing for them. And the minister has more meetings tomorrow. He has the main lecture tomorrow night. He's doing some stuff Saturday. But the minister is not stopping. He is not stopping. And these students are excited about him being here. They are really excited about him being here. So I am so proud of him. And hopefully this will spark more creativity into some more of the other students across the country. We want them to make sure they follow Minister Farrakhan at Louis Farrakhan. He's on Twitter. So we want to make sure that the young people and older people know about that and continue to follow him. And before I get off, I do want to remind everybody that you can watch tomorrow the minister here at Tuskegee. You can go to noi.org/webcast. You can go to noi.org/webcast tomorrow and here at 6 p.m. Central, the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And you can, like I said, you can get tomorrow's lecture, inshallah, God willing, you can have that, but you can get the World Friendship Tour that he did now at store.finalcall.com.
Thank you so much, Brother Terrence. Very, very powerful and necessary information. And, you know, these live webcasts that technology enables us to see not only allow us to witness and listen to him speak, it allows us to be part of the experience and to witness the students as we watch them become enlightened and actually become empowered right before our eyes. So it's a very important experience for the observer and listener to take part in, especially in times as trying as these. We need to know that we're going to be the winner.
Can I formulate?
Walaikum salam, Dr. Richards. How are you enjoying yourself?
Oh, I'm enjoying it. And the brother Scott, who the minister praised, I had him about 3 years ago at Savior's Day as a part of the Ministry of Agriculture, where he actually gave his presentation and started his apprenticeship program, and one of the people who signed up with him actually is now going to be a farmer. So, you know, the Ministry of Agriculture has worked to help him to get a footing, and now he is, like Minister Farrakhan said, when you put water on a seed, then it's what's in the seed that will come out, and it'll be different from other seeds because the DNA in the seed, you really don't know what it is until you put water on it. Then it will grow and show itself as different from another seed. They look alike until you put water on them. So then what Brother Terrence is saying, the minister said about the message he gives, but it's up to us to then to sprout and to show forth our worth and do something. His job is to deliver the clear message, and then it's our job to go out and do the work. So this is what we try to do. And I just wanted to read something. They published an article in the Final Call I did on Django and the movie. But in it was a quote from Frederick Law Olmsted. It was written in 1856. And I want to read this quote because this is why they're so afraid of the minister coming on to a black campus. So let's just read what Frederick Law Olmsted said. He said, if a laborer on a plantation should insolently contradict his master, it may often appear to be no more than a reasonable precaution for his master to kill him on the spot. Quote, if I let this man live and permit him the necessary degree of freedom to be further of use to me, he will infect with his audacity all my Negro property, which will be correspondingly more difficult to control and correspondingly reduced in value. If he treats me with so little respect now, what have I to anticipate when he has found other equally independent spirits among the slaves? They will not alone make themselves free, but will avenge upon me and my wife and my daughters and upon all our community the injustice which they will think has been done them and their women and children, unquote. So in other words, the audacity of the things that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says they are afraid will infect they're to be educated and refined slaves. Because the reason why they put money into these institutions is to take our talented 10th, our best and brightest, suck them up into their world to help them continue to build their world, but not teach them how they can go out and build a world for themselves. So when a man like Farrakhan shows up and says, look, come, learn from these institutions, but then take it back to your community and build a world for yourself and a future for yourself so you don't come out looking for a job. You come out and make a job. They don't want that into the ears.
At all.
Our young people, at all. So that's what it's all about. These institutions are not, like you said, Minister Ava, they are not really meant for education. They are meant for training and directing them and using them to be cogs in their machine. And here comes Farrakhan messing up the machine by throwing
that's
in the truth that jams up the mechanism of control in the student's mind.
And once they get that teaching and move toward, which we're going to discuss tonight, I decided, Brother Ridgely, to have open line discussion with the callers.
Yeah.
While you and Brother Terrence are there, and whenever you can, please join in. But I know the minister's coming out. But, you know, verb and subject agreement. Verb and subject agreement. I was in a discussion with my husband about a certain Negro in his work environment. And out of that discussion came the fact that right in line with what you just read to us and said to us, the fear is that we will become who we truly are.
Right.
And once that happens, not only will we cease looking to them for our sustenance, we will cease to be enemies of one another.
That's right.
We will pool our resources because when they train us, not only do we facilitate their world in terms of the labor we provide, but we think just like them.
That's
so
right.
So just like that man that you read referred to my Negro property.
Mm.
We think of ourselves and each other as Negro property. Mm. And we will not do anything that we think may advance our brother or sister.
That's right.
We're the only group of people on the earth that live like that. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad accused us, and now the minister accuses us, of not having verb and subject agreement. Because he said, we talk revolutionary. We talk like we are free, but our actions are that of a slave.
That's right.
And that's what you're saying, that, you know, the way we behave and function, just like you teach land literacy. Well, a free man doesn't even give a second thought to the reality that he's got to control his food source. We question that. We resist that.
Mm. That's right.
We want to go right back to our tormentors.
Come on.
And have them feed us.
That's right.
It makes no sense at all.
And, except, you know, my wife said I should stop saying it, but, you know, I never really understood our condition until I got a dog. And as long as you feed that dog and rub that dog's head, he ain't leaving. No matter how bad you treat him,
wow,
he ain't leaving you. And they have put us in that condition where we are their pets. But they have more respect for their dog than for us. But they know that as long as they feed us just a bit and pat us on the head, and this would like to say, I'm sure you had it said to you, Minister Ava, what they love to say to you is, you know, they say, you know, Ridgely, you're different. Oh, my God.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God. They tell you, oh, Ridgely, you're different. And then that's supposed to pull you away. And they got to
right.
put their hands on your shoulder when they say that. This is
yes.
to pull you away from your people. And some of us fall for that okey-doke.
We yes. should be offended.
God, I mean, you know, as long as if they can keep us divided, they can keep us their slaves. And as long as we look to them for guidance or appreciation, they know they got us. But when we look up to a black man and love a black man and are willing to die for a black man like Minister Farrakhan, they know they done lost that Negro slave.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they are afraid of, because like you said, your husband said, they're afraid of us being who we are, and they know who we are. We are beginning to believe who we are, but they know
who we are
because they know what they picked up when they brought us over here. This is why the secret relationship between blacks and Jews setting black is so important, because they sold us as engineers. Now, you don't kick somebody up from swinging on a tree and put them on an auction block and sell them as no engineer.
Come on.
All right? They knew what they brought over here. We were just in the house of the president of the university here last night, and it was built by a slave owner. Now, it wasn't built by no slave owner.
Come
it was
on.
Built by the slaves of the slave owner. So we have built this world. We're the carpenters. We're the architects. We're the engineers. And they know who we are, but we don't. And here comes a man who wakes up who we are in us.
Yeah.
They got to keep his mouth off of the ear of our black students.
My God, and if we pay attention, he's coming. The minister is moving more quickly, with much more intensity.
Yes.
He is like that seed that you said, when it's watered and gets light, it manifests what it is. He's fully manifesting who and what he is, which is a divine warner. Guide,
right.
reminder. And if we're watching the time and what must be done, he is saying in a public forum things he has never really said publicly.
That's right. That's
you
right.
know, such as the meaning of his name.
Mm.
In
right.
in the Holy Quran. He said, my name comes from the 25th surah or chapter of the
yes.
Quran, Furqan, the discrimination.
Yes. That's right.
A clear distinction between truth and falsehood, a clear distinction between right and wrong. No matter how we feel when we go away from hearing this man, the one thing we don't feel is confused.
That's right.
we understand. I don't care what our level of education, what our IQ is. He penetrates the mind and brain, and it gets across. And you are left with one thing, and that's to make a choice.
That's right.
And as you just said, that's the danger, because they have our young people in a cloud of confusion. And he, like the sun, when that light burns and those rays come in,
yeah,
it moves those clouds away, and everything shows itself,
yeah,
for what it is.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
A beautiful thing. So if I can hold you for, I'll take a couple of calls, because I know.
Yes, ma'am.
Just from hearing you, somebody probably wants to talk to you as well. But I don't have our beloved screener this evening, Sister LaDonna Muhammad. And so I'm going to take the callers. I'm going to give the area code callers so that you know that you are live. So I have a call from 517 area code. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Hello.
Yes, welcome. You are on the air.
Yes, I have a question, and I don't mean this as a criticism, but I mean it in such a way because I really want to understand. Minister Farrakhan says that Elijah Muhammad is still alive. And what I would like to know is, if that is true, why is it that only Farrakhan can see or speak to Elijah Muhammad? And like I said, I ask that not as criticism, but I want to better understand the nation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I'll take a stab if you'd like to, Dr. Ridgely. Would you like to go first? Or?
Well, you go first. You see.
Okay. Well, because this is a very profound question, and so I'm coming with minimal understanding, but I'm going to come from the perspective of one who believes and, in fact, feels certain that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is alive. You know, if you remember in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, when Jehovah spoke to Moses, Jehovah did not address the children of Israel in mass.
That's right.
He didn't even talk to Aaron.
That's right.
Jehovah spoke privately.
That's
with
right.
Moses. When God called Noah to his mission, again, there was not a press conference or a whatever would be the equivalent in that time. It was not a group or en masse discussion. In fact, even the wives and families of these men were not there. When Allah revealed the Quran to Muhammad ibn Abdullah, peace be upon him, he was alone. One of the primary reasons that God chooses a vehicle in a man through whom he speaks to his people is actually an act of mercy upon those people, because he's raising that prophet or messenger because those people are off the straight path.
That's right.
They are in rebellion to God's will and in a condition that if they don't come out of it, they're going to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So they are not in the proper state of mind or spirit to actually respond to the voice and the word of God. The one chosen is never chosen because of wealth, status, connections, education. They're chosen because of humility. They are chosen because they have a heart and mind that is open to direction and teaching. They don't know everything, But at least they know they don't know.
That's right.
Unlike we, the people who are so ignorant and savage and crazy that not only are we bereft of knowledge, we don't even know we don't know.
That's right.
And so if we respond inappropriately to Allah, God, in his face, we're going to be instantly destroyed.
That's right.
So it is an act of mercy to choose an emissary, a representative, a voice, and that person is always one from among that people so that that people can relate to him and he or she can relate to them. So in the case of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what happens to a man, because we believe that the knowledge and wisdom, the supreme knowledge and wisdom of the Creator was made manifest to us in the person of a man, Master Farad Muhammad. We don't believe Master Farad Muhammad originated the heavens and the earth. He was born in 1877, but we believe that he carries within him the knowledge and wisdom and understanding and therefore the power of that one. He came and met with and taught directly the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for 3.5 years. Now, he held classes and meetings with other people, but by the time he left here, he had selected that one with whom he spent all of his or most of his time, and that one was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It is our belief that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through his 44 years of self-sacrifice for the salvation of the lost sheep, the black people of America, who are the ones prophesied in Genesis, that God said he would come himself to save these people. We believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad earned a place with him. We believe there was a death plot against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and just as is written of Jesus in the Quran, he escaped that death plot. And so having elevated to that stature, he left one for us, because had he not, we would have collapsed and met the same fate that is awaiting America for her crimes against God and against black people. And so when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a vision or experience of encountering the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it's not like he sees him or goes to dinner with him every day. In 1985, September, he had an encounter with him. And from that encounter, it was, to lack of a better term, information, knowledge, and wisdom was downloaded into the minister that has been constantly flowing out since 1985 all the way up to this very moment at Tuskegee.
Now, this encounter, do you mean through a deep, prayerful, meditative state or an actual physical encounter?
Well, what he referred to it as a vision and as an experience.
Oh, okay. Then I can better understand that. And I should be a little bit more transparent. I know there's other callers, but I just want to say this. In 1972, I did have the opportunity to be in Elijah Muhammad's presence in Chicago. I was 13 years old, I had joined the nation at the time. I left a year later due to some extraneous circumstances, but I can understand the concept intellectually, because I must have been maybe 50 yards from the messenger, and the holiness that I felt 50 yards away was incredible. So I can understand the concept intellectually. However, on the other hand, I know that the messenger spoke very strongly about spookiness.
Yes.
We were always taught about the spookiness of the Christians.
That's
because
right.
I've chastised Christians on many occasions. Well, as they always say in church, don't worry about it. Jesus Christ is going to come to earth, and he's going to solve all these problems, so don't worry about it. And so I wouldn't want to be told by Muslims, well, don't worry about it. Elijah Muhammad is up on the mother plane, and he's going to come down and solve all these problems.
Right.
Because to me, the most important thing, concept is, well, if that is true, and it may very well be true, but the key word is, in the meantime, which I'm sure Dr. Ridgely can appreciate this, and you as well, in the meantime, what do we do as people to deal with this beast? And I'll just listen now. That ends my questions.
That's very
I've been
scary.
Listening to you for since the very beginning. And I says, well, you know, I'm just going to make this call because,
call.
You know, this has just been something that's troubling me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'll hang up now. Or
before you hang up, I just want to say, brother, that I thank you because, you know, all of us are students and learning. You know, I'm at the most rudimentary level, and I didn't bring this show on the air to teach, but to provide a forum for what you just brought. And that's for us to speak intelligently to each other. This filth and degeneracy that our people are engaging in and doing it on Facebook and Twitter and texting and you know, just engage in all kinds of low language, nothing that is fruitful or intelligent. And so just to hold these conversations, I believe, will help drive us toward what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us and the ministers teaching us. In response to your question, what do we do now? He said the best and only solution is separation from the enemy of our liberation. So thank you for your call, beloved. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you so much, brother. And since you mentioned my name,
yes,
first of all, I'd like to say that I thought the answer that Minister Ava gave was an excellent answer, and it helped me understand even better. But what I wanted to say to what you asked in terms of what do we do in the meantime,
and
that what we do in the meantime is the most important thing, because Master Murad Muhammad didn't come over here for us to worship him in a way that we call, you know, worshiping Jesus. He didn't raise up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for us to just worship, for us to worship him, but we were supposed to become like him. We were supposed to grow ourselves from nigger to black man to God and goddess. In other words, we were to grow ourselves in becoming like God and be his vicegerent or his active force in the world. So this, for us, is an active participation in that to show forth, I believe, Allah came the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and that Honorable Elijah Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. And through my belief, I'm going to show God that I believe, and I will go out and show him that I am worthy of his presence in terms of knowledge. Because if you go in the presence of someone who has a lot of power, you got to be prepared. I know if I had a lot of power and somebody came up to me with something stupid, my mind would destroy them. And I said, oh, my God, I didn't mean to kill that brother. So it's this is why we are not ready yet to come in the presence. Mr. Farrakhan submitted completely to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
That's right.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad submitted completely to Master Farah Muhammad. They don't disobey. How many of us can say that we are not disobedient? So, you know, if I was chosen, I would have been dead a long time ago because I would have been disobedient to something. But Mr. Farrakhan has not been disobedient. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not. But us, we are trying to grow ourselves in that type of belief. And you can only do that through working in the dark, working in the light when all the earth ain't understood. That's just that's no big thing. But to have a little bit of darkness and you still want to work in that dark and bring forth the light from yourself, in yourself, now you've proven the worthiness of why Master Farah Muhammad came over here, because he came over here to take that with nothing and make it into something that the world would respect. not just respect him, but respect that which he raised up.
Yes, sir. Beautiful. All right, we're going to, we have the 202 area code, and let me get that mic open. Welcome to Elevated Places. You're on the air.
Yes, no,
I'm
here. Let's say, Brother Michael.
You're on the air. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Places. Okay, I think they might have went
yeah.
away from the phone.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to go to 623.
Assalamu
alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Walaikum salam. Beautiful conversation again, Sister Ava and your other participants.
This is Sister Barbara?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, assalamu alaikum. It was good seeing you, Savior's Day.
It was good seeing you, too.
Yes,
I was
gonna,
Sister Ava, didn't I give you a set of the Holy Quran tapes 1 year?
I think you did.
Uh-huh.
I sure have them.
I just want to remind
you. That was from you,
you,
then. Yes, ma'am.
That was me who gave you those.
Thank you so much.
I listen to mine all the time. But what I call to tell you, Sister Ava, what is so significant about Minister Farrakhan being at Tuskegee, doing Theology of Time what date was it? I have it here. Excuse me. On November the 1st, 1972, which was 40 years ago,
wow.
Minister, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke about buying Tuskegee Institute.
Mm.
So you can go on that tape,
oh
and I gave you the date, November the 1st, 1972. He spoke about Tuskegee, and he was talking about that he would like to have that university.
Sure. That is too powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So I wanted to share that with you so you can go and verify it at that tape. And I'm wanted to share that with you. And so I was real excited when I heard Minister Farrakhan was coming there because doing Theology Time, he had mentioned that university. And that's where my people from Alabama anyway, but I was real excited.
Mine are too, on my father's side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm from Aniana near Birmingham. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Well,
but you know, the minister has a track record of bringing the messenger's expressed wishes to fruition, back to what
yes.
you said, Dr. Ridgely, about complete obedience and submission, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had said, I didn't know until recently that the minister watched the March on Washington in 1963 with the messenger. They watched it together on television, and the messenger expressed to the minister his desire to have a march, but for it to be on a much more serious level. And so he brought it to fruition.
Well, that was 40 years ago. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke of Tuskegee.
And that's a significant number, 40 years.
Yeah.
It's very powerful.
Now, let's take it to the next step. All
Uh-oh.
Right? This
okay.
year,
I'm bracing myself.
This year, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan announced at Savior's Day the economic blueprint.
Yes,
right?
Oh, Lord, that's right.
So,
got to make
connections. How are you going to? We know we're coming out here and take Tuskegee from anybody. Okay, we're going to have to raise our nickels and dimes and put them together and buy it.
Yes, sir.
It's, I mean, right now that Tuskegee, like all black colleges, have a budgetary constraint, and they got this is one of the issues with why that the board of directors or the trustees for these universities, their major job is really to go out and get money.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Therefore, you have people on your board who can get money or have money. Since white folks got the money, they wind up a lot of white folks on the boards of black institutions like they do here at Tuskegee because the black folks need these white folks to go get some money. Now, what if we had the money?
Well,
if we had the money, and we do as a people, we need to put it together, our nickels and dimes and a savings program, investment program, put our money together, and then we buy Tuskegee. It's for sale. So
that's
we can't
exactly
take it.
Right.
We just have to put our money together.
Buy
so it is significant.
And we sure can afford it. What do we have? Something we have over $1 trillion.
$1 trillion. There's no $1 trillion. You can come on now. It's just a matter
you can't
of
come
a,
up with a few million. Because
That's all a few million. Not a billion. This economic blueprint that the minister is bringing out this year. So, yeah, he is here. So he intends to buy this. But we're going to have him to help him to do that.
Mr. Whitley?
Beautiful.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I was wondering, would it be possible for us to have that request to open up those files? Could we get signatures? Could we get like something like, you know, how the people go around and get names when they want to recall someone. Is it possible that you can download maybe a form letter that we could use and we could take it with us and we'll go around when we're around people because everybody don't have a computer to do that. I have one, but I was just thinking, would that be feasible?
Well, yes, we could. But then, you know, you have to mail it to Eric Holder and to President Obama, you know, and mail it. It's just that we're using this platform because it's the one best one we can use to get across the country. We get people right now from all across the country and the world are signing on via the Internet. So, yes, it could be done that way. And that's something that we in the research group are going to have to discuss, and that's something we can bring up. So we have to figure out a way to promote this petition more because this is one of the impediments to our people supporting the nation is
that's
these lies that
and
they
the
put out on a regular basis.
And the brothers could carry a petition when they sign on papers.
That's correct. This is something that we can sit down and we can talk about this.
Talk about
thing.
Adding
first
that
thing component. Yeah, but first thing we got to do is figure out a way to get the information out to the people and promote it and get more
in
people
the first place, right?
In
yes,
the first
sir.
Place, to understand the significance of why it is important to get
that
this petition out.
That's right.
So that we can get our people to put their money where their heart is. So
precisely.
We need to clean up their view of us.
Right. It's been muddied by lies. You know, hurl
that's
truth
right.
and falsehood till we knock out his brains. Thank you, Sister Barbara.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I'm going to take one more call, then we're going to go to break and come back and finish taking our calls. Callers, I love you for calling in. Hold on. We're going to get to everybody. Let me do one right now, and then we'll be back. Let's see. We have 901 area code. We have a few 901s. So if you have a 901 area code, I should have your mic open. And
assalamu
your first exchange is walaikum salam. Welcome
this
to Elevated Place.
Right, this is Brother Hoyle from Memphis, Tennessee, and this is a beautiful discussion. I
great.
Love the brother's question, and I hate I missed you guys. I came, you know, make it up there. I had to take care of some business here at Savior
yes,
David. I heard the show, and it was beautiful. And that
yes,
was a beautiful
sir.
Question by the brother. But always, and I love this forum. This, like I said, Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, the highest form of energy is his teachings, you know, discussing
that's
his
right.
teachings through.
That's right.
And that's the highest form of energy of in the brain or whatever. You know, this is because it's God in person. And just doing this work, Sister Ava and Brother Dr. Ridge, also I'm looking to the panel, too. Doing this work, we're saving our lives and our family, extended family's lives. And I heard the brother, you know, he was asking about the minister, you know, how is the minister talking to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? But, you know, you look at his work. His work is a direct reflection of the messenger. I mean, and the best representation ever, you know. He made him to sit in his seat, you know. And it was beautiful, Sister Ava and Dr. Ridgely, you know, in the last time of What Must Be Done, he was talking about, what will you do, America? You know, and he said, number one, Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, to separate the black man and woman because God wants to make you a great nation out of us. Two, give us the good send-off. Then he asked the question, black man and woman, what you should do? He said, let's get busy. Let's unite. Let us stop this one killing of each other.
Right.
And you know, he said, look at the program of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let's get to work. And all of these, all of this is right in front of us. Dr. Ridgely is excellent. You know, we're getting the program, we're getting everything laid out, and God is just putting everything. And I was so saddened to see this latest final call about this little baby getting shot.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, my God.
Denyla, yeah. And yes. This should be a wake-up call, you know. But it's, I pray to a lot of our people wake up and see, you know, we've had some killings around here, Sister Ava. You know, it's going on all over the United States and the world. But until we wake up, you know, and we get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And but I love this form. Like I said, this is the beautiful form of the highest thought and the teaching. If you're around the area, like I said, a lot of brothers, Sister Ava, from Memphis are going down to help secure the minister in Tuskegee. That's like 4 hours from here. But if any listeners in that area, please come and see it. Wherever the minister, he's going to be doing tours. I think he's going to be back in Chicago after that. I don't know.
Yes,
but
Dr.
Watkins.
Boyce Watkins are holding
together.
Yes.
Well, praise
he's on the move.
So
he's carrying out his mission.
He's moving quicker. Got more energy, look better than all of you.
He's got us all put to shame.
I mean, to be an 80-year-old young man, beautiful man. Praise be to Allah. That's our spiritual father in our midst, and I love what y'all are doing. Y'all doing excellent job. But I'm gonna get off this phone and let some other people talk to me. Allah bless all of you.
Thank you,
beloved.
Thank you. So we're going to go to a 1 minute commercial break, and we'll be right back with our calls. We're talking about verb and subject agreement. Why doesn't what we do match with what we're saying?
Cool.
We'll be right back.
That God, through the prophet, tells the people again and again, and we've been told today, most of us are not going to see that God has really come until this country has been brought low. Until the white man has lost his power, then most of us will see. The lucky ones will see spiritually prior to that, and those are the ones who shall be hidden in the days of God's wrath, which will break out not long after Minister Farrakhan departs. And that's very soon.
For more information, or to order authorized lectures and seminars by Brother Jibril Muhammad, call 719-581-2136. That number again is 719-581-2136, or email bjmhmd2000@earthlink.net.
All right, we are back with Elevated Places. This is your host, Ava Muhammad. I am joined by our Elevated Places contributor, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, and we are asking the question, what is holding us back from moving towards self-determination? We certainly have had every sign given to us, and now we are experiencing chastisement. We have the best communicator in the history of being on this planet, and yet we seem to still be in a dilemma about what we should do. And it's just interesting that commercial break, what Brother Jibril just said, what it's going to take. And that is tragic, but it looks like that's going to come to pass. So Dr. Ridgely, we're going to move to the phone again. We got a lot of people. We're also back to the 202 area code. Let's see if we can give that a try. I don't think this person meant to go on the air. We're going to go to 704 area code. Welcome to Elevated Places. You're on the air, area code 704.
Sister Ava.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful, and I love you and the family, and I'm humbly coming to you because I'm so excited. I have one Now, well, I have three questions, but I have a comment. And I want to say, I think it's important that I want to tell on somebody in a spiritual and righteous way, but I want to get to my question first. And that is about the messenger said and advises that, you know, in the spirit that he did give us to us, he said, don't so much condemn a dirty glass, just put a clean one up next to it. But that was what I was taught from 30 years ago. So I'm kind of like calling you to say, I want to edge and bring it on. I want to edge you on to bring it on. So my question to you deliberately is, Sister Ava, I need help to understand what will be the vision and the blueprint, if you will, or a manual of the separation that would entail and specify to execute the exodus. Will the request to demand retirement and disability assets be a factor? I want to know that, economically speaking. So I'm speaking so much, not so much spiritual, but social engineering of the exodus in terms of, is there, and I want to thank Dr. Risbley for the NOI, I mean, the Ministry of Agriculture website is so informative. All the questions I've ever had, he's answered them. I could be a part of the co-op, and that's what I want to know. So I'm excited about that. So I did want to say that. So I'm going to get off the phone, but I did want to tell you before you go, would you please give P.J. Murphy a call in WGIV in Charlotte, because he has not mentioned the petition. He says he's waiting for you. And I just know something is missing, but it needs to be discussed, and I'm disappointed that it hasn't been. So am I a bad girl to tell? If I am, so be it. And I love you. And I want to say
we love
thank
you too.
Very much, family.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day. Take care.
You too, beloved. Thank you. And Dr. Rizzi, I would just
thank
say
you.
Real quickly, and you know, you chime in, but you know, as far as the actual methodology and the process, I think you just got through dealing with it with obedience and doing what we're asked to do. Those are the steps. For example, we are now being asked to begin setting aside very nominal, small amounts of money, which we can share that with everybody that we come in contact with. See, the other thing is we got to develop some courage and boldness now, because those of us who say we accept this and are with this, then why aren't we communicating that to people that we deal with on a daily basis? I know in sales, I work with a wellness company, and I get products from them with no bleach and you know, healthy products, things like that. And those who are in the top income level of earners that earn through this marketing company, they say they have what they call, Dr. Ridgie, the 2 feet rule. And that is, if you're within 2 feet of them, they feel comfortable approaching you about this product. Because they feel like, you know, if we're that close, then we're in some sort of situation, whether we're on an elevator together or where I don't look like I'm stalking you, okay? And so all of us that are on this program right now, evidently we have some affinity for this message. And so why don't we share that? I mean, I saw Halle Berry's movie. It was good. And I ate this food and it was good.
Right.
But this is our lives are involved with this.
Right. And like you said, the first step, and that's the step the minister brought to us, is to start your individual savings program.
That's right.
Okay.
Start putting
aside some money every day. And I hate to use the word piggy bank, you know. But put it in a little piggy bank.
But it's a known word, yeah.
So you can start that on your own and encourage everybody to stop spending, cut of the credit cards, get rid of the credit cards, and now begin to save money. And then at a later time, we can invest money, but first we have to save it up. Right now, we in debt. So get rid of debt as best you can and then start saving money instead of throwing it away because, you know, we can make decisions on little stuff like some chewing gum, you know what I mean, or put back a potato chip. We can make decisions all the time where we can take that. Well, that right there, I was going to spend, guess what? I'm going to save that. I was going to spend $1.05 for that Hershey bar. I was going to do that. I just was going to spend that. I tell you what, that today, that $1.05 goes in my savings plan.
Right.
And that's just to get it started. Everybody can do that. Everybody can push that. So we tell everybody, let's just start the savings program. When you think about spending money on something that you really ain't really got to have, and say, well, you know what, I was going to spend that money on something I really, really didn't have to have, and guess what? I'm going to put that in my savings plan.
Well said. It's just so, you know, going back to the brother earlier about we don't want to be spooky, see how practical and real these teachings are. Very practical and very real. Okay, so we got 901 again. This is a different 901. Let me see if I can get the mic open. There's an 06 at the end. Welcome to Elevated Places. You're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr.
Awesome.
Ava. This is Dr. Salam.
Well, well, well. Wa alaikum salam. Good to hear your voice.
This is so beautiful. Dr. Ridgely, is he still there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
And brother, wa alaikum salam, brother Terrence.
Brother Terrence is at the venue.
On post somewhere at the venue.
Yeah.
Well, that brother has been seen at the same time in different countries.
Even. I'm telling you.
I think that brother, you know what I think? I think that brother has one of the baby planes. That's all the way in a man.
Something's going to manifest about him.
No, look. He came here today, and he got a ride from some brothers from Charlotte, North Carolina. Okay, that's how he got down here, all right? I saw him today. He got a ride from the brother in Charlotte, North Carolina. I said, where you staying? He said, I don't know. You know, the brother ain't told me where I'm going to be at yet. So, this brother rides out on faith. I'm telling you, I know this man.
Yeah, we're gonna have to put some eyes on that brother. for certain.
I still think he's triplets. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, that brother is he's getting around too smoothly.
Right. But like, well, we got a baby plane parked in the back.
I wish we could clone him. If we had about 50 of him, I think it would be over overnight.
It'd be over. It'd be done.
I bear witness, but you know, I am so glad that brother called with that question.
Mm.
And sister,
oh my God,
there's
yes.
nobody on this planet other than maybe the minister or one of your members there that could have answered that as profoundly as you did. I mean,
well,
that needed
Lord.
To have been asked, and that needed to have been said.
Mm.
But great. You have to ask yourself, those. And I told somebody just today, the minister was on today on the Channel 17 broadcast. I said, why do you think the focus of all the black men in America and across the continents, why is the focus on stopping this one man?
Come on, come on.
Think about it.
Wait a minute, just think about that. Why are they still... after all of these years trying to tie him to something ugly like the murder of Malcolm to turn the people away, they would not care for him if he was not the man. And he is the man under two men in our midst. You can take it or you can let it alone. But sister, you handle that so smoothly. I mean, I water settled in my eyes. I mean, I really mean that. But our people for so long have been hero dependent. But if you show me a hero, I'll write you a tragedy. The minister will never be called a hero. He is a liberator. And a liberator separates the wheat from the chaff.
Go ahead.
The slave from the oppressor. So when you see a man... who came up out of the grave himself and was taught by a man that did not go no further than the fourth grade of school, but yet he has raised a nation. That man told us, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, when they see one of you, they see 100. So at the Million Man March, they saw 200 million black people. That's why they're afraid. We have the man in our midst, and all we have to do is stay dutiful. Sometimes I think some of us become a little fearful for not just speaking the word. When these people, they don't have any book to challenge anything that the nation does.
That's right.
We
right.
have the books on them. The Honorable Minister Farrakhan sent the secret relationship between blacks and Jews to Bernanke, and Bernanke sent it back. He didn't have to read it because he knows he's in there.
Exactly, exactly.
So look, I'm just so full of what you did today. I'm going to hang up and just listen to the rest of the show.
Well, thank you, for, as always.
Yes.
You bring such clear insight, and we love you in these discussions.
We love you,
Dr.
too,
sister.
Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wayne Flom.
Awesome. Awesome. See this discussion, I just feel us so in harmony with one another. This is beautiful. I'm going to Chicago, where I am, 773. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Brother Malik. You hear me?
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir, Brother Malik.
Yes, yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Dr. Gregory. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to bring a little critique.
All
to the
right.
practicality of the let's go back to September 9th, 2007. Y'all remember, we remember that day, right?
September 9th,
Hello?
2007. Help me.
Take his word by.
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Minister said he wanted that $10 million, right?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay, well, let's do some math real quick. That was about 5.5 years ago. So we got about 10,000 believers, maybe more. But we say 10,000, that we could definitely contact on a daily basis. Maybe $1,000 may have been a little tough for certain believers. But at 20, if you take 10,000, divided by about $27 per believer a month, Treasury would be at about a little over $20 million right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know what I'm saying? This is practicality. You know, because this is reality.
Very
because practical. The nation, we are the leaders of all of this. We the ones that constantly, you know, we are, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, this nation, Master Rob Muhammad said, you know, the nation is the head. So we got $20 million. What was the minister's word? You give me he said 10. But let's take it on up a notch. You know, let's give it about 5 years. Like, where we at right now? He said he would leverage the assets of the nation, which is about, what, $50 million? So we at about 70 right now. Without even having to even deal with our people and getting on them and trying to get, that's what we got in our treasury, the Nation of Islam, with $70 million in the man of God's hands, where, you know, what did Jesus do what was that in the scripture? What did Jesus do with the fish? And he fed 5,000.
Yes.
See what I'm saying? So imagine where we would be at right now. The minister got $70 million in his hand. What does that mean? That means that all these Negro leaders, which for one thing, you got enough to start a bank right there. All the money that we're trying to get these nickels and dimes, we would be in position right now to say, well, black folks, put your money in the Nation of Islam's bank. It's a real bank. It's got real capital reserves. We got 70 million strong. So that right there puts us way ahead of the curve right there. You know how fast that money be coming in right now? Because that's what people are inspired by. Why do people go to Michigan Avenue when they ain't got no money? Because they like success. People like to see. So even though they can't afford it, they like to be around it. It's a magnet.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And so when you, just like these rappers, these fake rappers, they prop up with this fake money because they on the Jews' leash. But our people flock to that, you know what I'm saying? But this is tragedy, you know what I'm saying? So I'm looking at, we got to look at that, you know? We would be up $70 million, and guess what? With that type of money right there, ain't no not sitting at the table with us. The minister wouldn't have to really pull on anybody to really sit at that table because we didn't already put ourselves in position to be able to demand.
Yeah, they'd be knocking
expand.
The door down to get in. Yes. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We'd be able to say, black folks, we on top of the Nation of Islam, we on top of this, we know what we're doing. Because we got regional minds. I mean, we got a strong structure in the Nation of Islam. We got regional minds, we got a nice structure, but you got to consolidate it, lock it down tight. And at $27 a month, the poorest believer could have handled that.
That's right.
There'd have been no struggle for any believer to handle that.
Yeah.
That's leading by example. You know, and then the minister, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just, you know, this is practicality.
Thank you for that.
I don't know where we at right now. I don't know if it's too late. I don't know. But
no, it's not. It can't. We're still here, so it's not too late. And you know, you Islam is mathematics. You're giving us these numbers, which are very real.
And
you know,
yes,
it's putting
like,
something on our mind.
Like
it's laying pressure on our mind to make a move.
Right. And see, unfortunately, most of us feel that we individually, our little work that we do is not significant, so then we leave it to somebody else to do because we think it's not significant, our little work. Each one of us has to take the responsibility. Look, I'm going to do my part regardless of what the others do. I'm telling you, black folks is like, well, let me see what the others are going to do first. And then if they do it, then I do it. I don't think like that. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I don't care what you go do. So we have to, each of us has to get a mentality. Well, look, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put forth this money. I'm going to hold back my spending on this foolishness. And I'm going to say, I do this every year. This is why I can give my money to the minister. Because I live to do that. Unfortunately, other folks don't live to do that. And they've gotten caught up in a lifestyle that their income can't afford, and the things that we want keep going up in price, but our income coming in is not going up. They're draining us as we run after our wants. We're going to have to cut down on our lifestyle on something that we want because our income cannot keep up with it. We must make a decision.
That's absolutely right. Thank you so much, Brother Malik. Thank you. Keep giving us that guidance. All right.
All right.
I'm beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We're going to go to we're 832. 832 is the area code. And let me welcome to Elevated Places. You're on the air.
Hey, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, Sister Ava. On the topic what you're discussing, I'd like to throw two problems that I'm looking at. And that's the weight of past sins, which keeps us reluctant to start to step forward. It's a fear of being discovered. So I want to put that out there. And peer-to-peer repression. Sister Ava, I remember I worked on a book for nearly a year, and I was fired up about it, and I gave out the book to the officials in my mosque. To take a look at it before I started selling it. That was not done. It was not looked at. And I was in the office of this second-ranking officer. I'd say it like if I had to go and tell the truth. And I was questioned on the book, and I was told not to sell the book and to wait on the minister. I sent the book to Chicago, and I never received a response for over 7 years. And sister, as an author, you know, can you imagine to write your book for over a year without any help on publishing the book and told to wait on releasing the book and never receiving any guidance on how to get permission for the book and never hearing anything concerning your book at all. But I thank Allah that the subject matter in which I had wrote about in the book is now being discussed by people in the nation today. So in a way, that the book was really kind of ahead of time because what I was dealing with was with the reality of Allah, but I was also using language saying that Allah is a title of an office being held, and that's what I want to call and say.
Well, you know, Dr. Rizzi, my thing is this. If you write something, if Allah puts it in you to write something, if you are clear that this is coming from you, you're not trying to represent it as coming from any other source, but these are my thoughts.
Right.
You know, based on what I'm studying, what I'm living. I mean, you know, when I write books, I don't filter my books through anybody. This is just me. This is what I'm thinking, and I'm sharing, okay?
Right.
And, you know, when I send you my book, it's already out.
Right.
That's right. And people can accept my book or reject my book. All they can they can confront me with my book.
I'm
not going to ask you whether I can write my book.
Right.
Right, and what it was based upon.
Right. See, brother, hold on, what we're saying, brother, is this. We in the Nation of Islam, the minister has said that we must take control of our truth.
Right.
You know,
yes.
Ourself. And you move out in the name of Allah. Now, if you have a question as to whether your book should be out or not, then you shouldn't put it out. You shouldn't put it out unless you really take the consequences of what you put out.
Exactly.
Right, right. And like I said, that was like in the past. And you know, we was always told to always seek permission. So like I said, I thank Allah that the subject matter was already, you know, it have came to fruition. And Allah blessed me to write for a magazine. My article goes to England, my article goes to Africa, my article also goes to South America as well as the United States. So I pray Allah, you know, it worked out either way.
Praise to Allah. But I would tell you this, the minister said, we don't need permission to do good.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. we do have a structure, and there's authority, and we know the distinction between, you know, obeying authority, but then yet expressing freely what Allah has given us to express.
Right.
You know, there's a balance.
That's right.
So subject and verb agreement.
Subject and verb agreement.
I say, brothers, you got it. You got it and you do it.
Exactly.
That's right.
Right. So that was my experience. So I wanted to share that with everyone.
Well, we appreciate that. That's really, really valuable for us to hear that. And believe me, you got somebody out there right now that needed to hear this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Peace.
All right, beloved. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, we're getting down. We're down to 13 minutes. We're going to, let's see, we've got, because I'm doing this by myself. I'm a little inept. LaDonna, Sister LaDonna. Okay, we have another 202 who's been holding for quite a while, and this has a 9-8 at the end. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, Dr. Ava, first of all, for having your show, and I wanted to say
that you were
the first female student minister that I saw in the nation, and I did not know that the nation had female ministers, and that was my inspiration to finally begin processing in the nation.
Wow, beautiful. Thank you.
And I wanted to say, going back to the brother that called with the question about Elijah Muhammad still being alive.
Yeah.
And that was one thing that I was confused about before. But Brother Jibril's book is Elijah Muhammad still physically alive?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes.
And it's available at the Final Call store, finalcall.com.
Yes.
And that helped to clear up a lot of things for me. And I just wanted to mention that. In case the brother was still listening, and for other people that may be questioning that, that
excellent.
It will help them in their understanding of that. And I want to say thank you so much for this show and providing an area where we can bring the teachings in our lives in a more concrete way in our day-to-day lives and help us to practice the time and what must be done.
Mm.
In our everyday lives. So thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. Oh, what a beautiful call. Wow.
Great call.
Yes.
Endorsement.
Awesome.
That was an endorsement.
Yes. And see, that's why I love this show, because the brothers and sisters just, you know, Allah has gifted all of us with something. And I love what you said, Dr. Rizzi, that there's a flaw in us where we have this wait and see attitude.
Yes.
But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't wait and see, and neither does the minister, and that's why they are where they are. You gotta, you know, Allah, when he brings you through that birth canal, even if you're a twin, you gotta come through that birth canal by yourself.
That's right.
You know? And you don't, you know, you can't say, well, I'm going to wait and see who comes out of the other womb. I mean, you know, it's either do or die. You know, and that lays the base for life. I mean, move out. Okay.
That's right.
Move out. So we have 225. That I think that's Louisiana. Welcome to Elevated Places. You're on the air, 225.
Assalamu alaikum. That's Louisiana.
Wa alaikum
salam. How y'all doing?
I'm all right, brother. Why you ain't here?
I have to call you off the air and tell you. Actually, we had a death in the family. Good to hear from you, Dr. Ridgely.
Yes, sir.
Put the switch up for a little while. I was calling Sister Ava as you were talking about why are we slow to respond. I think that was your initial question.
Yes, it was.
I think part of it is because we're in a state of sleep. And we really been rocked to sleep by this culture of integration, coupled with some who have made it into a slogan by saying, don't go out in front of the minister. But the reality is that the Quran teaches about those who lag behind, and we have a book called Closing the Gap. And so whenever you just are blunt about it and try to be respectful about it, you usually get labeled being a rebel or so forth. But this show that you're doing, and along with Dr. Ridgely and his teaching of land literacy and us moving in closer proximity to one another so that we can begin to harness the power to really do something to change the condition and the reality that we live in every day is so necessary, and we are so grateful that y'all come on each week so that the little believer can hear y'all. You have enough courage, and Dr. Ridgely, to just go and write a book, but there are so many talented people who think that they're obeying by really lagging behind or not doing anything.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, really, I was looking, not to jump subjects, someone sent me what integration is really doing to the black man, and if you go on YouTube and see Prancing with Elite in Mobile, Alabama, you'll see that they're letting our little black boys become majorettes in high school.
Oh, my God.
So they're forcing this homosexual individualism-like culture on us. And I know your time is short. I hope that we can do some type of forum where we actually have a deliberative dialogue about how to separate. And Dr. Ridgely, you know, you posted on the website about the Amish community, but it was really good report. And I just hope we can really get in a room to really talk about which ones of us own land, what are our talents and gifts that we can bring to the table, and who would like to move in closer proximity, and what would we be willing to give up and sacrifice. Like maybe if some of us had an acre or two of land, we'd say, hey, man, I'll swap you with something just so that I could have my children in a Muslim neighborhood. But we need to have this dialogue. And I thank y'all so much and hope to see you soon, Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ava.
And you know, that was a beautiful point you opened up with about lagging behind and closing the gap. You know, because, yes, we should not get out in front of the minister, but, you know, we also should not lose sight of him. We shouldn't get so far behind him that we can't see him anymore.
Amen.
You know, it's like you're following somebody, you know, direct, you know, just follow my car. You can't let that car out of your sight. And, oh, my God, I fell back in traffic, and I don't know if they went left or right.
Amen.
And now there we are, lost again. Okay.
That's right. And you know, a lot of people use this line, brother, of don't get ahead of the minister. It's because they ain't doing nothing. They don't understand. They ain't ready to move, and they don't want you moving out.
Right. They don't want you to get ahead of them.
Like they ain't about the ministers to get ahead of them. You're right, Sister Minister.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
You
so thank you, beloved, so much.
Thank you.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
So we're down to 5 minutes. We're going to take one more quick call. We got a lot of calls from D.C. this evening. This is another 202 with a 9-1. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ava and Dr. Ridgely.
Walaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am. This is Sister Joella calling from Washington, D.C. Yes,
all
ma'am.
Right.
I just wanted to let you know that we are so proud of the research team. We are so happy that you all are doing a beautiful job in terms of defending the minister, and we're striving to learn and read about certain things that we can also say that will elevate our people to understand that we have a man in our midst who is trying to help us and help our people to move out and to be separated from the enemy. So may Allah continue to bless you, and inshallah, I shall continue to listen to your show, which I do. Sometimes I don't get a chance to call in, but may Allah continue to bless us so that we can continue to move forward in our separation. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, thank you, beloved. Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. Thank you so much. And, Brother Dr. Ridge, we're down to 4 minutes, and I do want to remind the listeners and callers to go to avaspeaks.com. We're starting to make available some of the old-time, old-school vintage lectures, such as Deportation of Moon is now available on avaspeaks.com. Brother Ridgely, you know, I was reading in the final call about the incredible, horrific killing of the black couple in Cleveland back in November that has not been given national attention, where the police shot, unloaded.
Yes.
137 rounds at a couple, 60 police cars chasing them, and the sister Melissa Williams, who was 30 years old, I think she was shot 27 times, and this the gentleman Ray Russell, 43 years old, was shot an equal, actually hit. They were hit that many times. But the point is, this was just a massacre of two people who really they had these little criminal records, like receiving stolen property. This chase started in downtown Cleveland, and it ended up in East Cleveland with law enforcement from the Ohio Highway Patrol, Cuyahoga Sheriff. It clearly was the 2012 version of those photos we show of the lynchings.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
With all of those white people standing around drooling.
That's right.
You know, like Dr. Frances Cress Welsing said when she was on the program, you know, that you're always going to hear, just like the 16-year-old killed in New York a couple of weeks ago, you're always going to hear them say, we thought he was armed.
Right.
You know, we thought he had a weapon. And she said, they always think that the black man has a weapon because in their mind, they're talking about his reproductive capacity. You know, and so
that's
all
right.
That to say, this, we're just going to continue getting hit with this week after week until we get up out of here.
Well, the thing is, any excuse is good enough for them to shoot us down. And
true.
And that's why we have to be careful, because they are looking for any excuse to do what is in their heart to do, which is to exterminate us. And they want to do it so they can have some type of excuse. So then the rest of us will sit by and allow it to happen until we make a little mistake, and then they do it to us, and then they want somebody to come and protect them then. They are just waiting for that opportunity to shoot us down like animals. And
that's
they're never going to change because, like Dr. Francis Chris Wilson said, they worry about genetic annihilation. The definition of themselves make them devil. The definition means that they got to get rid of everything else that's dogging them, because to get close to anything else eliminates them.
Right.
So they are sick people, and they're going to kill as long as black is alive.
And like the brother said at the end of Django, like Django told them, little black slaves, get away from them. Y'all need to get away from them.
That's
Dr.
Right.
Rizzi Muhammad, thank you. You are a gem. You're just priceless. And I thank the whole Elevated Place team, Rona Muhammad, Bobby Muhammad, LaDonna Muhammad, and Terrence Muhammad as well. May Allah bless all of us. And remember the minister tomorrow evening, Tuskegee, live. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. If you enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.